may not know me. I start even with me. I must say at the outset that I am not a preacher. That my only authority is what you see. That whereas I was a hopeless, helpless drunk, today I haven't had to drink, thank God. Whereas I was one of the most miserable amongst men, today I enjoy at least a measure of peace and serenity. And this, I think, is important. And I have come to believe that the only right I have to keep, even in my own home, is by example. And so that which I shall attempt to share comes out of my own experience. And if you don't agree with anything that you hear, it's perfectly all right with me. I wouldn't defend what I have to say for 5 seconds to anybody because it isn't necessary for me to defend. Because I give it to you merely as my own opinion. And so I don't have to defend it. Since I have an opinion, I give you the right to have an opinion also. And if you disagree and know why you disagree, it's quite possible that you know a whale of a lot more than I do. And that's good too. What I shall say in all love. And there is no inclination within me to judge or to criticize. And so again, we'll think together a little bit of what this day means to us in the light of our own experience through the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that it's well for me to say to you that I believe in every man's religion. First, that it would be too close to anybody else's belief. I don't know. But it's mine, and that's all I have to say. And first off, I would like to think with you a little about the necessity of individual experience. If there is one thing, one great lesson that we might learn in our own fellowship, it is that there is no such thing as a special dispensation or a special favor, because in our experience, we have seen the priest and preacher right alongside the atheist and the agnostic. We have seen the doctor, the lawyer, the businessman, the bootblack, the streetwalker, the black man, the white man, the Jew, the Gentile, and the Greek. We have seen all of these come to our focus, as sick as I was when I came. And we have seen every one of them do the same thing that I have done in their own way. And we have seen every one of them come back to normalcy and right straight through normalcy to a joyous and peaceful and happy way of life. So we have to see that this is a matter of fulfilling conditions and not a matter of special favor, special dispensation. If it was a matter of special dispensation or special favor, some of us certainly would have missed the boat. Either the black man would have gotten it and I couldn't, or the Catholic would have gotten it and I couldn't, or something like that. Certainly the atheist couldn't have had it. He was completely out of luck. But we see that everyone amongst us who has fulfilled the condition has found the same thing. And so it is that I find, not only here, but in the reading that I do, that pupils of all faiths and none who fulfill the condition find the same thing. Find themselves and their own relation to life itself, to God. And this is the great, great lesson in our fellowship. And it points up the necessity for individual experience. The absolute necessity for individual experience. For too long, perhaps, we have thought that some system of thought or some particular person might do this thing for us. You know? And I was thinking that a little bit this morning, and you will pardon me for being a little facetious at the beginning here. But I was thinking this morning, what a laughable situation it would have been if I had have shown up at your house some months or years ago, just about the time you were getting ready to tie on a good one, and I said to you, wait a minute, I'll get drunk for you. I'll do this for you. You don't need to. Certainly that would have been a laughable situation. You said, no, I'll do this for myself. And then just to make it a little bit more ridiculous, I was thinking about that day when you were about ready to walk down the aisle, and I would have come up and said, wait a minute, son, I'll do this for you. And certainly I would have been relegated, at least in your mind, to the booby hat. Because this is something you were going to do for yourself. And so it is with this program of ours, and so it is with the riddle of life itself. The necessity of individual experience. That is the great meaning of the word as we understood it in our book. Every time the word God is mentioned. God as I understand him, God as you understand him. The necessity of individual experience. There is no program in my thinking that will get us sober and keep us sober. There is no system that will, I think, save our souls if they be lost. There are ways, and if we fulfill the conditions of those ways, then we find the answer not only to our hardest problems, but to all problems. And I presume that one of the reasons that many amongst us got lost in alcoholism is because we couldn't find any satisfactory answers to the riddle of life itself. Perhaps the oldest question in the minds and the hearts of men, perhaps starting with the first man, was, what is this thing all about? And where am I going after 3-4 years in jail? What is life? What's the purpose of it? From whence did I come, and where am I going? And because we couldn't find satisfactory answers to these problems, life has been pretty meaningless. And I think, perhaps, in order that we might think a little about the answer, we might best go from the known to the unknown. Certainly we can look at the things that we know about and then sort of speculate on what might follow. And so I would look at myself a little bit and see a few of the things that I know about my own life. And the very first thing that I see that stands out in bold relief is that I had 43 years to run my life. I had 43 years in which I was doing the thinking. I was the master of ceremonies and the star of the show. I was calling all the shots. And at the end of 43 years, I had completely run out of rope. I had failed in every department of life. I had failed not only as a drunk, but I had failed as a husband, as a father, as a businessman, and as a man at 43. Now this is known. I know it pretty well. I still dream of it once in a while and wake up with a sweat. And so I see that a life lived by self-will cannot be satisfied. I prove that completely to myself. This is a known thing as far as I'm concerned. So I know that insofar as I am concerned, it is impossible for me to run my life satisfactorily. Prove that. And so, when I found myself entirely and completely out of rope, and when there was no possibility for me to live with myself any longer, because I couldn't stand me and I couldn't stand the life that was mine, I came to this program, and I decided I wanted what you had, and was willing to go to any length to get it. And I decided to abandon myself completely to this simple program. And I decided to take certain steps to the best of my ability. And I know what happened. I know what happened. Because from the depth of hell, over a period of time, came a satisfactory living experience. From out of the depth of hell came heaven. Now this I know too, because this happened to me. And I know that this I did not do, because this time I was not calling the shot. This time it wasn't what I wanted, because I didn't want anything for me. It is very, very significant to me, and perhaps would help us to understand what might come later. When I say the reason that I must be sober for such time as I had left, which I didn't think was going to be very long, because I was not in robust health. I was pretty sure that my time was limited, maybe to a few weeks, but at most to a few months. And the reason that I must be sober for such time as I had left was not that I might get something for myself, because I had awakened to the fact that everything that was dear to me was gone. And I knew why it was gone, and I accepted the reason that it was gone, and the reason was me. I knew that my wife had to do what she was doing. She had to get rid of it. And it wasn't her fault, it was mine. I knew that I didn't belong in that home, so far as the boys were concerned, because they couldn't live a normal life with me around them. And so, without blaming them, but blaming me, I knew that I must not be there. I knew that I had no right even to hope that my boss would put up with me any longer. And it wasn't his fault. It was mine. Now this didn't fit with the old pattern, because my wife had contributed greatly to my delinquency. What she did, she was supposed to do, because she was the wife of the great chamberlain. And what she didn't do, I got gifts, because she didn't love me enough. And so she caused me to get drunk on numerous occasions. And certainly my boss had contributed to my delinquency a great deal in the old days, because it was quite apparent to me that I had all the brains in the organization. And he had all the dough and was telling me what to do, and the very injustice of the situation was too much for me. I had to get drunk. But when the time came that I had insight enough to look at me and see what was there, these excuses were taken from me. And so it wasn't important to me that I might get something for myself. It wasn't important to me that I might, by some doing or thinking or acting, solve all these problems that had accumulated when I was running the show. It was important only to me, thinking that I had only a short time to live, that I might be sober so that I could erase what I had already written on the blackboard of life. That's the reason that I wanted to get sober, and that's the only reason for it. That I might erase what I'd already written on the blackboard of life. And so I started to do these simple things, because they told me at that time that 50,000 people had gotten sober by doing these simple things. And I must be sober. I didn't come here to get answers to those other problems, and I didn't come here to find God. I came here merely for sobriety. And I would have settled for any kind of sobriety that did not include liquor. Any kind. The meanest old unhappy sobriety on earth would have been all right with me if there was no liquor in it. And so I did these simple things. for a period of time for sobriety, thinking, maybe if I fulfill these conditions, maybe if I practice these principles in all of my affairs, maybe I might get the help that I must have in order to be so. Very much afraid that I couldn't have it, because I was quite sure that I'd already done too much damage to my thinking apparatus, and that I didn't have enough left to get it. But doing it just the same, because there was nothing else for me to do. And after 6 months of doing these things one day at a time, I woke up to the fact that I was sober. Just woke up to the fact that I was sober, that I had been for 6 months. And it was the greatest awakening in my life. And that's over 8.5 years ago. And I've done these simple things for the last 8.5 years for an entirely different reason. I have done them because I want to. Just because I want to. Because over that first 6 month period, I learned that this is the way I had always wanted to live. This was the normal way. This was the only easy life that I'd ever known. The only good life that I'd ever known. And the only peace that had ever been mine. And so, from 8.5 years ago until now, I have done these things just because I wanted to. And for no other reason at all. I have not attended a meeting of AA in the last 8.5 years to get anything. I have attended every meeting that I've attended, and there have been quite a few. Because I hope that maybe just my presence there might do somebody some good. Maybe just seeing me might do somebody some good. Maybe somebody might ask me a question that I could answer. Maybe I could share my experience, strength, and hope with somebody. And so, in the last 8.5 years, it has been impossible for me to go to a bad meeting. Every one of them are good, because I wasn't going after anything. And I've never left one of them without a full cup. Running over, filling over, and all the rest. And it's been pretty terrific. And so, the conclusion that I mine this morning, and I reserve the right to change any of them between now and 3 o'clock, if I run across anything that seems to be better. The conclusions that I have reached for the present are right out of the experience that we have had together in AA. And it seems that this experience has tended to prove all of the theories that I had accumulated in the previous 43 years. Seems to explain what happened to it in AA, and explain these things that I've read about and thought much about from the beginning. I do not share the feeling of grief that goes with this day too much, or that goes with the few days preceding this, because it seems to me that this is the happiest occasion in Britain. This is the first. It seems to me that the young man from Galilee, the carpenter, had told us about everything prior to this experience that he was to go through. And he not only had told us, but he had proven the things that he was talking about by the miracle. Now I believe in all the miracles. It's not difficult at all for me to believe in miracles, because I know many thousands of them. I see them walking around. I see them here. So, if he didn't do the things that are accredited to him, he should have done it. And I believe that he did. And so he told us all about this thing called life and how it works. And he had proven these things by the miracle. He had proven that life can be beautiful. He had proven that love can overcome hate. He had proven that life can overcome death. Even before his own experience, he had, on several occasions, brought back those who were supposed to have been dead, as in the case of Lazarus. This seemed not strange to him, because, you know, he didn't believe in death. He didn't believe in it at all. You remember when they said to him, "What is God's relationship to the dead?" He says that he doesn't have it. God doesn't have any relationship to the dead. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living, because unto him all are alive. So, there was no problem with him, because he knew that there was no such thing as that. And the reason for it, I think, was because he was fully cognizant of where life came from and where it was going and what it was all about. And in this regard, I love better than most anything else the beautiful New Testament description of creation, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God became flesh and dwelt among us." So I'm sure that the carpenter was completely aware of the fact that we live by virtue of the fact that God is life. It is that close. We live by virtue of the fact that God is life. But herein the necessity of the individual experience. Because we never know this in truth until we actually discover the truth of it for ourselves in this. This is the great subtlety of life itself. This is the great reason for all of our troubles. Because, you see, we have looked in the wrong place for our answers. We looked in the wrong place for our answers. We looked in the book, and we read the book, and maybe we intellectually believed it. But the book was about, you see, it's about something. We went to the priest or to the preacher, or to the rabbi, and we listened to him, and maybe we intellectually believed him, but it was about, you see. Or maybe we didn't believe him, and so we went to Timbuktu, and we said, "I'll prove this thing to myself," and we started looking in a bottle. Ha ha! And we started looking through all the necessities for ego satisfaction. We started looking to people, to places, to things, to circumstances, and to conditions to find this thing. And we didn't find it. We didn't find it. Because we were looking in the wrong place. And so we kept on looking in the wrong place until we ran out of rope. And when we ran out of rope, and there wasn't anything else for us to do. Then we came back home. And we had to admit defeat. And so the ego takes a terrific bump. We had to admit that life as we were living it was no good. We had to admit that we were such good directors after all. We admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become a man. And so we don't need the ego anymore. So we take it off. And we toss it away. And then we start trying to do something about our lives. We start trying to wash our own windows, to clean up the wreckage of the past, to make amends to the best of our ability, but above all, to become willing to make these amends and do them the best we could. And we started washing our own windows, and pretty soon we started to be able to see a little more clearly. And we kept working on this cleanup process. And we saw that resentment were a great part of our makeup. And we started getting rid of these resentments. And we saw that self-pity was a product of the ego. And we didn't need that anymore. And so we sort of peeled that off and threw it away. And we had to admit that we were alcoholics. And in my case, that was quite a conviction, because I wasn't a nice alcoholic. Pigs didn't live like I did. And so, the admission that I was an alcoholic made it unnecessary then for me to lie about anything. If I couldn't any more longer lie about that, there wasn't any necessity to lie about anything. So we take off the lies. And we throw them away. And pretty soon, we uncovered the thing that we were looking for. We uncovered. And we find that we've always had it. This is the great discovery in AA. We find that we've always had this thing. But it was all covered up. And we were looking someplace else. We find that the very thing that we've always wanted so much, we have always had right here, but we were out in left field. We were way out yonder in the far side. And so, fortunately, those monsters who came here for sobriety alone, and who fulfilled these conditions to the best of their ability for sobriety alone, found that the conditions for sobriety and the conditions for the good life and the conditions of God are one and the same condition. We're the luckiest people on the face of the earth. No credit to it, because we did it backwards as long as we could. We didn't come here by choice. We came here because there wasn't any place else to go. This was the port of last call. So there is no credit to us at all. We're just lucky. We're just the luckiest people that live. And so we find the truth in the things perhaps that we have always intellectually believed. We find the truth of life itself. We find the meaning of our Father. We find the father-son relationship. Our Father, his Father, your Father, and mine. And it's the most terrific discovery on the face of the earth. This, perhaps, is why we're here, that we might make this discovery for us. And again, the necessity for individualism. No one can find me for me but me. And no one can find you for you but you. The necessity of the individual spirit. the impossibility for anyone to get sober and stay sober on my practice of these things, but myself. This is the reason the young man says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do. Because it is in the doing of these things, in the individual experience, that we prove the truth of. I'm reminded of the little admonition of the ancients. I've forgotten who did it or where it came from. It says, act as though I am and I will be, saith the Lord. We've got to do these things ourselves in order to prove that they are true. And so, in my own experience in this fellowship, many, many things have happened, and they are all good. And they always happen, and I look back then to try to figure out why and how they happen. And I find that they happen in two ways. Usually, the inspiration comes in meditation. It became necessary for me after some 3 or 3.5 years in the program to have a personal experience. Because whilst I had talked much of 7-Eleven and had loved it much, I got home one night after a meeting and was thinking about it. And the word conscious exploded in my face. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood. And the word conscious exploded. And I said to myself, wait a minute, this has to be an individual experience. This thing has to happen in me. If I'm to be conscious of it, I must be aware of it. I must. And so, I had to sit there and come into an awareness of my own, of this conscious contact. And it came to me out of the word Our Father. Our Father. I presume that I have spent not less than 30 days before this time and after. Our 24 hours each, thinking about nothing in the world but those two words. And the ramifications, the meaning of those two words, Our Father. At least 30 days about those two words only. Maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours at a time. And now this has become the closest, the most meaningful, and the most real relationship in my life. Our Father. My Father. The most meaningful relationship in my life. And so, whilst we're going to hear much of it a little bit later, I want to think with you a little about the meaning of this prayer that we say together to close every one of our meetings in AA here. The Lord's Prayer. And how I love to think of. The first two words, Our Father, God. Our Father, Creator of all things, Father of all life, in whom we live and move and have our being. Our Father, besides which there is none other. God, which art in heaven, The kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. No man can go to heaven unless he take it with him. Because it's a state of being. It's a state of being. Our Father which art in heaven, the kingdom of heaven is within. Our Father within me. Within me. Hallowed, glorious, blessed, joyous. Be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come in my own spirit. Thy will be done, not mine. Because I don't want my will anymore. My favorite prayer is, look, Father, I'm reporting for duty. All I want is a little guidance and direction and strength. I'll move it around. I'll move the gravel. Just show me what you want done and give me the strength to do. Thy will be done. In earth, in the outer as it is inside, within. Let the performance and the pattern be the same. This is the great joy that comes with walking in this way. That we live according to the pattern, God's pattern, which is right here. The performance and the pattern, let these be equal. Father, indeed, that I might walk in this way. Because I want to. Thy will be done. In earth, in my life, in all of its aspects, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. 24 hours, no more. I have no past, I want no future. This is my time to do with the best I can with what I have. Give us this day our daily bread. The needs of the day, whatever they are. But just for today. Because now is eternity. Now is my time. The only time I'll ever know is the now. So for the needs of the day, I pray. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And this is one of the most beautiful lines in anybody's language. And I'm mindful, as I think of these things within myself, that the young man said to him, well, if you bring your offering to the altar, and you remember that your brother has ought against you, take it back home. Don't leave it either, because it's no good. Take it back home and put it in the icebox for a while. And go find your brother and make your peace with him. Make your peace with him. And then come back. And your offering will be accepted. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. And if there is one shortcut to the kingdom, it's in forgiving everybody on earth for real and imaginary wrongs, including ourselves. And starting with a clean slate. That is true. And the next line, I have always had trouble with, until recently, because I've always thought that there was a mistranslation. Is it connected? Hey, yes, it is. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, since I was a little bitty guy, I have never been able to conceive of a God who would willfully lead me into temptation. I couldn't see it, and I've always felt within me that there must be some sort of a mistranslation there. And not too long ago, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it before, because I'd read the thing many times, I was reading in the book of James. And James says there, if you're tempted, do not say I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor can he himself tempt any man. If you're tempted, it's because of your own desires. Ha ha, I like this. If you're tempted, it's because of your own desires. And so I got rid of that little stumbling block. Because in my own way of thinking, it would be something like this. That thou leadest me not into temptation, but delivereth me from evil. I like it much better. Of course, it doesn't make any difference to me, because this is just my own little interpretation of things. And I like it so much better because I don't think that God, as I understand, is interested at all in leading me in temptation. And so it makes it a little easier for me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And this ties in with my own experience in this regard. I have come to believe that there is nothing to life but the living thereof right now. There is nothing to life but the living thereof right now. No reason for it at all except just the joy of it. Just the joy of being, not for my glory, but for the glory of the Father, in whom I live and move and have my being. And so it is out of this experience I have come to see that my 10-year sojourn in hell was not a bad experience at all. It wasn't a bad experience. It was a good experience. It was a rough time as we went through it, not only for me, but for our family. But it wasn't bad because out of the worst possible thing that could happen to me has come the good luck, has come the good action. And so we come to see that every experience in life, whether it be termed good or evil, properly evaluated, is a stepping stone to better things. And what a terrific way to look at this thing called life. That out of each experience, if we learn its lesson, it's a stepping stone to better things. And we come to see also that when we have removed ourselves from the picture, when we have changed from the feeling of conscious separation from the ego, consciously separated from life, when we have made that great change by surrender and have moved into a conscious unity with living in a part of this great thing called life, good God, we come to see that God's will for us has always been fulfillment, peace, and joy. But only on his own terms. And that is that we act like his good. This is all there is to it. That we come back home. and act like our fathers do. That we go about our Father's business in all things. And that's what these words mean, that we practice these principles in all of our affairs. That we go about our Father's business. That we practice the presence of God in everything that we do. And when we do this, we have to see that it isn't a getting life at all, but a giving life. Because everything that we'll ever have of value came with us when we gave it. Came with us because we are our Father's children. And God's will for His children is fulfillment of peace and joy. And this has always been the case. And it isn't a getting life, and we don't have to outsmart, outthink, and outperform, and outmaneuver. But we have to outlive, outgive ourselves. Just being the best me that I can be this day. Just living that I might add to a little. Every situation in which I find myself. This is the great moment. And with it has come not only the answer to the disease of alcoholism, but the answer to life itself. And while I remember, and I think shall always remember, the 10 years that I spent in the same chair in which I sit today, with the same wife with whom I live today, with the same children that we have now, and with the same boss. Sitting in the same chair for 10 years in hell, which I occupy today in heaven. Such is the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Such is the great answer to life. Such is the truth that makes us free. And if I should sum up my entire philosophy, all of it beginning with the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous and developing by sharing my experience, strength, and hope with such as you. This would be my great belief. I'm just feel like a kid, a knock-headed little old boy. Walking down the corridors of life, hanging on to my Father's hand. Not taking it strange at all to share all things with the good and the bad. Not taking it strange at all to ask for and receive guidance in all things. And not taking it strange at all to believe that every good and perfect gift is from His hand. And to be so grateful that all through the day, I'm saying, Father, I thank you. Thank you.